Mr. Tiwake.
Cool. Very much. Okay, my name's Tim Tawke, and I live at 209 Tutaki Road, which is approximately 1.6 kilometres away from the edge of the proposed development. Firstly, thank you for this opportunity to voice my objection to this proposed development. I've lived there in my current property with my partner and two children for approximately 2 years and owned the property for approximately six. Okay, I object to the noise, light and air pollution during operation and construction that we created. I believe the mitigation strategies mentioned in paragraph 90 of the proposed conditions will not work. I believe the noise levels will not be adhered to that I mentioned in table 3 of paragraph 85. Also, the council report dictates that they don't know the actual levels that will be created, or uncertain. In regards to the air pollution, I believe the dwellings further out than 100 metres of the freight hub's destination needs to have further mitigation strategies installed if this activity is to go ahead. That's in accordance with paragraph 99 of the proposed conditions. But however, my main objection is that the regional freight hub is being proposed under the RMA of the Resource Management Act of 1991. This act is to be scrapped and is likely to be replaced with the Natural and Built Environments Acts, the Strategic Planning Management Acts, and the Climate Change Adaptation Acts. The RMA is no longer fit for purpose and is likely to be scrapped by 2022. I recommend that this proposal is postponed and submitted under the new building and infrastructure legislation when they are introduced. I also recommend that other areas are investigated in the interim as an alternate area for the regional freight hub. As a suggestion, I would look at areas northwest of Martin, 3 decades northwest of the township. Less people will be affected, there will be better distribution to the Taranaki and further northern regions. Pretty much, team, that is my submission. That is it. Have you any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Tiwake.
No questions from me, Mr. Excellent. Tiwake. Thank you very much. Your submission was very clear and very strongly made. Thank you.
Sweet.
No questions from me. Again, thank you for coming in.
No, I don't have any questions either. Thank you. So I appreciate your time. We're just going to briefly adjourn. One of our commissioners has a school call. Well, I think it sort of warranted an explanation. All right, so we're up to submission 7, Mr. and Mrs. McGill. Welcome.
Yeah.
Of course, we've read your very extensive submission. And property 7, we know where you are. Because we have a map that shows all the locations of the submission. So, welcome, and... we'll just ask you to address us as you want to.
Great, thanks a lot. As you said, I'm Rex. This is my fantastic wife, Rochelle. So there's some brownie points. That's great. And we're here to represent our family, which also has my son, Thomas, and my daughter, Jessie, And as some of our neighbours know, Ruby the dog.
Yeah.
So we're at 9 Sangsters Road, and you all know where that is. We've lived there for approximately 9 years, and the reason for us moving to that location was because of its semi-rural setting and its proximity both to Palmerston North and Fielding, which was of a real advantage. But little did we realise at the time that we'd also inherit a fantastic bunch of neighbours and a real sense of community where everyone looks after each other. No more highlighted than the tragic bus accident that occurred last year when all the locals around us all rallied out there. And my wife and my daughter were first responders as well. So that's the type of community that we live in. We love it out there, basically, again, because we don't feel like we're cramped in like in some modern urban environments. But also, too, there's the environment that we enjoy. So fantastic, ample bird life, a lot of it native, beautiful trees, vegetation, a lack of light pollution, which on occasions allows us this fantastic nightscape that we can really enjoy. So that's what we get by living where we are. Obviously, our main concerns with Kiwi Rail's NOR is basically that, you know, 177-acre industrial complex that is asking to operate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, is basically about to invade our community. So the reason for our concerns is the fact that Kiwi Rail is about to basically become our direct neighbour where we live. We know that the northern main trunk line sits there, but they're sort of infrequent visitors, I suppose you'd call them, because the trains come and go. And we knew that when we bought the property. We did a due diligence. We knew what the train movements were. We knew about Railway Road. We knew all that. But we certainly didn't know that 177 acres of industrial marshalling yards were about to visit themselves upon us. But now, obviously, Kiwi want to become permanent full-time residents of our community. And as I've stated here, what are they offering us? Well, sadly, noise, increased pollution, both airborne and light, and to substantially change our rural outlook with the consequences to our lifestyle that will come from those changes. And these are really all topics of concern that we stated in our original submission. As I've already mentioned, our property boundary sits less than 20 metres from the proposed rail hub. And our actual house, the front of our house, our front two bedrooms, sit 29 metres from the designated area being required by Kiwi Rail under the NOR. There is a photo representation of Lisa Rimmer in her viewpoint 23 in Appendix A of the landscape and visual evidence was given. It's in the report there. It states that it was taken at 11 Sangsters Road. I'm just going to tell you that it was taken at 9 Sangsters Road because it was basically in front of our letterbox. And the only reason I know this is because I recognise the Palmerston North City Council's weed garden and the joint venture between the Palmerston North City Council and Kiwi Rail for their gorse farm. So that's how I recognise the photo. So basically, our concern is where that point of view of the photographer, where they took that photo from, isn't really truly representative of our property's viewpoint, because we are actually, our view is about 2.5 metres higher in altitude, because as it states in the technical report by Nigel Lloyd on noise by the Palmerston City Council in section 6.1, construction noise mitigation point 121, that dwellings on Sangsters Road are generally raised above the railway line and the railway road, and it is therefore difficult to mitigate construction and operational noise using noise barriers. Based on the factual evidence presented both by Kiwi Rail and the Palmerston North City Council experts, 9 Sangsters Road falls into what the experts have deemed to be a Category A noise and vibration zone for when the rail hub is operational. This zone is deemed to be any dwelling located 100 metres from the rail hub boundary. Our property is also deemed to fall within the 50 metre construction buffer zone. And when discussing this, Nigel Lloyd, obviously from the representing the Palmerston North City Council, again contends that no predictions have been made of construction noise, and 50 and 200 metre buffer areas have been developed based on experience with comparable works on numerous other projects. Buffer areas are normally empty tracts of land that are used to buffer noise-sensitive neighbours, but in this case, there are dwellings inside the buffer zone. Some of these dwellings may be exposed to noise levels that exceed the construction standard noise limits, but there is no indication of where and when this might occur. That's Nigel Lloyd's words. So what we've got in our view as a family is that we've got acoustics experts stating that any property within a certain close proximity of the rail hub, both during the construction and when operational, will be affected significantly, even with noise mitigation. And then on the other hand, we've got another expert stating that the proposed noise mitigation will be enough. So you can sort of see our cause for nervousness here. Of immediate concern is the noise mitigation during the construction phase. From what we can see in the planning, to mitigate this, a noise bund, an earth noise bund, and a 3 and possibly 5 metre high concrete wall needs to be in place, along with the promised planting to help hide the visual impact of that concrete wall, which is something you'd normally see either living next to a prison or in Gaza. But according to Mike Skelton in his design, construction, and operation report on behalf of KiwiRail, it states in section 4 verse 30, the potential for early planting along the eastern Sangsters Road boundary is minimal, and cannot take place until the North Island main trunk line has been relocated. The existing rail formation will form the base of the noise bund, newly formed Te Araroa Trail, shared pathway, and landscaped planted area. So, we are questioning in the first instance how our property will have noise and visual impacts of the construction phase mitigated. Without a construction plan to consult, it's very difficult to understand and foresee what form this mitigation may take. Now, the following is only based on my experience of 30 years in the construction industry, and I suppose my working understanding and working experience of construction schedules and work plans. So if the proposed noise mitigation for our property is to be a small earth bund topped by a significant concrete structure that will be situated on the ground that is currently occupied by the North Island main trunk line, how will this work practically? To move the NIMT will require it to be resited to the area currently used by Railway Road. To move that, the North Island main trunk line there is going to require major earthworks to remove the infamous Bunnythorpe dips, which we've all heard about from KiwiRail. And to do that, you also need to build new railway road because the traffic has to go somewhere on the western side of the hub. Again, that's going to need major earthworks. And also, as locals will tell you, you need to do something about Lake Bunnythorpe, which occasionally turns up in that area. And that would require the instigation of the new drainage system for the northern catchment area of the hub. And to do that, major culvert work needs to happen on the eastern boundary of the hub. Where's that? Well, it's basically the very area where the noise mitigation needs to be built for our property, for the construction and operational of the hub. So basically what I'm saying is, what comes first, chicken or the egg? So, and there's no indication of that at all from anyone. So the required construction phase of the project is slated to continue for about 6 years, supposedly. And again, from my experience in construction, and let's just go down the road and have a look at Transmission Gully, let's add a couple of years to that. So basically, over this period, in that aforementioned report before that was authored by Mike Skelton, it gives some insight into the scale of what's being proposed just across the road from us, basically, at the moment. In section 6.9 of his report, it alludes to the estimation of approximately, give or take, 2.4 million cubic metres of fill needing to be shifted across the site, of which 1.55 million cubic metres has to be brought on site to supplement what is already there, which is going to be scraped and filled to get rid of, obviously, the Bunnythorpe dips and to provide the flat land that obviously a working rail hub needs. Now, as we know, we live in the Manawatū. We farm the fantastic wind that occurs in the Manawatū. And it generally comes from a westerly quarter, doesn't it? And our property is to the east of the proposed rail hub. So the impact of airborne dust and debris we believe, is going to be significantly increased, especially during the construction phase. This is going to have an impact on our property, including but not limited to noise, vibration, dust, and lighting. The other impact of the construction phase is alluded to in the report prepared and submitted by Amelia Lindsay on behalf of the Palmerston North City Council. The report's entitled Social Impacts states that homeowners' social well-being and social and cultural enjoyment will be impacted. In the report, Section 4, Review Findings, Point 19, she states, based on my review of the proposal, including the conditions for the designation proposed by KiwiRail, some of KiwiRail's assumptions cannot be comfortably be relied upon to inform the assessment of potential social impacts. As an illustration, I note that other reporting officers raise concern about the feasibility of the landscaping and noise mitigation being implemented prior to construction, and therefore I would consider this would likely affect the ability for these features to provide mitigation of the potential severity of social impacts, for example, by providing screening, particularly while construction is underway. The social impact report then goes on to highlight the impact of living next door to a 177-hectare industrial complex that again will be allowed to operate 24/7, 365 days of the year. In section 4.4.2.44, the report writer states, the change in noise and community character arising from the freight hub will likely impact people's daily routines at home, sleep, working from home, spending time outside, and the road closures and relocations will affect travel patterns. I agree that the severity of impacts on way of life will be the greatest if nighttime activities occur at the freight hub. Because quite exacting parameters have been set in regards to the amount of noise and vibration that a property should be subjected to, the questions that arise for our family in regards who will monitor and police these. Also, will monitoring be performed on an individual property-by-property basis? As every property within the Category A noise and vibration zone is constructed using different materials, they have different foundation types, and also have been built to different building methodologies and codes, would a blanket monitoring system be the best way to gauge the impacts on each individual home? We would argue no. In line with that, how will breaches of these limits be enforced and by who? We believe has to be independent of KiwiRail or the Palmerston North City Council, because I think, as we're quite clearly finding out, they've got vested interest in this project going through. So also, what sort of penalties would a breach invoke? We feel that a monetary fine or a suspension of operations seems to be the only way to grab corporate entities' attention at times, rather than just having breach notifications issued, which seem at times to be a wet bus ticket. Also, within the mitigation proposal in regards to noise and vibration, one of the proposed solutions that's been given, that KiwiRail will provide insulation and a ventilation system so that they can hit the limits required internally within bedrooms and living areas, which is 35 dB and 40 dB. And to do that, they state that windows of the property will have to remain closed. Well, I've got to ask the panel, to me that's not mitigation, that's imprisonment. And it's nothing about a solution that we see as fair and equitable. You know, our reason for living where we live is because it's semi-rural, and it's basically built upon the tenets of open space and the freedom to enjoy that space uninhibited. One of the issues stated in our submission was a common theme for many of the local property owners was the impact of airborne pollutants, particularly for those households who rely on rainwater catchment for their potable water supply. We've seen a list of potential solutions offered by KiwiRail to these, but there's no real indication of who's going to foot the bill for those. And we would like to see the KiwiRail or the Palmerston North City Council be required to not fiscally disadvantage any affected properties or their current owners if changes to their water supply are needed, regardless of what the remedy may be. So, in summary, our family really is struggling to find many positives from the situation we're facing of having KiwiRail as our full-time neighbours. Promises to mitigate the effects on our property and the wider community will only find their true worth by the time it is too late to undo them. If we are to believe the hype from KiwiRail that this project is a major pillar of their future operating model in the Lower North Island, and the figures are being thrown out there of being $1 to $2 billion potentially over the 30 or so years it's going to take to be fully operational. But regardless of the cost and the scope, this NOR represents KiwiRail's one chance to get this project right. Many large projects we've seen fail because they haven't future-proofed themselves at the beginning. And then 10, 20, 30 years later, they cost so much more to rectify those issues. We know that Palmerston North is growing, and majority of that growth is heading out in that northwestern corridor towards Whakarongo and Bunnythorpe. This residential development will be to the east of the proposed rail hub. So wouldn't it be better to overdo the mitigations now than try to retrofit them later? That would seem to be a wise course from our viewpoint as a family. So we've sort of come up with something, our family come up with a bit of a proposal we'd like the panel to consider, is that enact a requirement for KiwiRail to purchase any property that sits within the Category A zone and beyond if needed, if the property owner wishes for that to happen. We realise this sits outside the Public Works Act and all the rest of it, but at least it's going to allow those affected property owners a choice. If KiwiRail are a good corporate citizen, then we would hope that fairness and natural justice would be invoked. Allow for a specific time frame where property owners within the Category A zoning or a designated zone that's decided upon by the panel be given the choice to either stay or to go. If a property owner decides to stay, then at least they're doing it through an informed and wide open choice. In summary, I suppose, to end with, before you, any questions you may have, in terms of the McGill family, our feelings towards the rail hub are basically this, and I quote the 44th President of the United States, Barack Obama, "You can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig."
Thank you for that. We'll just see if there are any questions.
No questions from me, Mr. and Mrs. McGill. You've done good research in preparing your submission and obviously thought about it a lot. And we certainly understand and can emphasise with your concerns that you've raised.
Thank you.
Just a couple of questions, if I can. What's the size of your property?
Half an acre, so 2,023 square metres.
Yeah, and where is the house situated relative to that?
So the boundary, it is basically approximately 9 metres from our front boundary, which bounds Sangster's Road, then our boundary, and basically our front bedrooms, our living areas, are 9 metres from the front of our boundary.
And is there a bit of planting around the front?
We've worked our butts off once PowerCo cut down the hedging that had to cut down because of 33,000 volt power lines.
Right.
So you can't have anything within 3.5 metres of those. So we've had to do a lot of remedial work along the front of the property.
I see.
There was some existing trees as well, but they've just planted basically a hedging that's still about this high.
Right. I did notice a lot of enclosure along Sangster's Road, I presume, because of the prevailing westerly.
So a lot
of properties do want some form of protection from the wind.
Potentially.
Just looking at if Can you just look, please, at something to provide you with map bundle 3B? This is a noise prediction, so it's not.
Is it 3B, sir?
3B.
3B?
Or 4B.
4B.
So this is a modelled projection of the amount of noise, worst case, and worst case includes the fact that it's assuming continuous operation of things like containers and so forth.
During operational, not construction.
That's right, yeah. And so your property, is that within the 55 to 60 dBA area?
Yeah, 50 to 55.
So 50 to 55. That's in that lighter coloured area.
Yeah.
So, who are the neighbours in the 55 to 60? Are they further?
That's further up Sanctuary Road.
Slightly up the road from us.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's 27 Sanctuary Road.
Yeah.
And onwards.
Okay, and in terms of noise at the moment, the noise environment, how would you describe your noise environment at the moment? Is it very quiet or?
It has, we're straight up. So Railway Road has definitely got a lot busier since we've been there.
Yeah.
Traffic noise basically starts from about 5:45 in the morning, proceeds through to about 8:30, and then return from about 4:00 till 6:30 at night.
Right.
Trains, well, they come and go, so they're in and out. They're probably worse when they're slower than when they're faster.
Would you describe the noise from Railway Road in the busiest times as a bit like a noisy fridge?
When we got to the property, we retrofitted double glazing. Just to help ourselves mitigate that.
Yeah.
It can be a constant stream.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there is a noise environment there.
There is.
That isn't completely peaceful in the sense of.
No, the weekends are and the nights are.
Weekends, yeah. So you notice it depending on the traffic.
Yeah, basically from 6:00, 6:30 onwards in the evenings, it's definitely quieter. And Sundays are definitely quieter than Saturdays, but the weekend is far quieter than weekdays.
It's only the peak hour times, really, that are busy.
If the Railway Road is closed, that's one reduction in noise source, and then you have the additional noise sources of this activity that are an unknown. Well,
they're an unknown.
Unknown.
The only thing is that Railway Road will be moving that way and the noise will be coming still across westerly. And as noted in Rex's talk, is that wall won't probably be high enough for our bedrooms and for our house. Our house is quite high compared to the actual flattened land. So we don't even know if that bund in that wall will be high enough to discount any noise from the perimeter road going around under the hill from Bunnythorpe. That'll be one of the main roads. So that road we might still see from our dining room, our lounge room and our bedroom windows. We might still see that.
The eastern side, won't it reduce the noise from that?
It'll be reduced from distance.
Yeah. But if there's a bund around the edge of the site on the eastern side, won't that reduce the amount of noise from the perimeter road?
it has the potential to, but until we're in place and it's in place and the acoustics are in place, we don't know. Will there be resonance off the wall that's going to protect Maple Street and all that back towards us? We just don't know.
Will that wall be high enough?
Yeah.
Because we're sitting high. The land is here and we're here. And the wall's going to be here. So will we be high? Will that wall doesn't sound like it's going to be high enough to stop noise. And from what I understand, noise travels further as well. So, yeah, but you can still have the noise trouble from that area. But really, our biggest concern is the construction phase. Because we can't see how they'll even get the wall there because all the construction has to do with that area. So being 29 metres from that boundary, we're affected no matter what.
Yes, I can absolutely see that.
At the end of the day, it's a good question. Yeah, and if you said to me, what's the one positive of the hub, it's potentially the moving of Railway Road, railway road turning up. But hey, look, I've got people sitting in the audience behind me that's going to be terrible for them. So, someone wins, someone loses in these things. That's the sucks thing. And all we're saying is that, if Kiwi Rail want to do this right, do it right. If there needs to be another 100 metres between them and anyone, do it right. Do it now because you won't be able to do it in the future. They'll be staffed. They'll be caught. So do it right because Palmerston North is going to grow out that way. I know it is. I work in the construction area. I know where it's going. So you might as well future-proof it now because, don't be an Auckland Harbour Bridge.
I'm not sure what beat the nip-on clip-on.
Exactly.
Very good. No, I found that very informative, and I enjoyed your dry sense of humour very much. So thank you very much.
It's all good.
Appreciate it. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for your time.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for giving us a chance.
Welcome. So you're submitter 57, John and Rosaline Wop. Thank you.
You said Wop. Well done.
Okay, so my full name is John David Brian Austin. I go by Dave. Confuse the issue a little bit. It's usually only my mother or the police that call me John. We are 41B Cleverly Line, and we are direct neighbours of Rex and Rochelle McGill, who you just heard. Our house is set back from the front of the property slightly compared to Rex and Rochelle's. Our property sits outside the designation, but will be affected by it, as it will be directly across the road, irrespective of the fact that Railway Road will go. We are overall opposed to the proposed site of the regional freight hub due to the direct effect the construction and operation of the freight hub will have on our quality of life. We have lived here for close to 10 years, myself having moved to be with Rose to a quiet rural location, having spent the previous 20 years living in Auckland. I want to live rural, not industrial. This is what we have right now. It is perfect. due to the impact the regional freight hub has on our lives and property, Kiwi Rail representative sat with us in our home to consultate about the effect of the regional freight hub. The outcome was that by law, we are deemed to be not directly affected under the Land Acquisition Act, so no compensation, sorry. We have been directly affected the day the regional freight hub site was announced. That's a categorical fact, irrespective of the law. It is a statement in fact that we have been directly affected through the anxiety the process has caused to date. We cannot be anything but directly affected by any and all construction noise, vibration, light pollution and dust by the years of construction. This construction will take place across the road from our front lawn. We are directly downwind of the regional freight hub site in prevailing conditions, which will exacerbate any and all noise and wind-borne pollutants, which will directly affect our quality of living. That is a categorical fact. Our quality of life will be directly affected by construction noise, vibration and dust for all the years of construction. No planting or earth bund will prevent this. Future activities and operation may preclude anyone from living as close to the regional freight hub as we will. There is the case of a landowner on the Tararuas that was categorically told no detrimental health effects would occur by wind farms being located on their property. However, several years later, with clinical testing, those landowners were told they would have to move due to the adverse effects of the wind turbines. Not a single independent expert can say for sure that the proposed mitigation will be enough to secure quality of living for us in the future. It is well documented by my GP, in fact, that disturbed sleep has a detrimental effect on mental well-being. The proposed regional freight hub will affect our sleep patterns. There is no way of predicting resale value and return on investment once construction commences. Selling during the many years of construction is likely to be difficult, effectively trapping us, and which will directly affect the quality of our lives. This property holds our entire combined life savings. It also is my place of work and income source. Currently, my signage for advertising of my business is passed by daily commuters between Fielding and Palmerston North. The quality of our retirement hangs on increased returns. We now live in an age where actions that have a detrimental effect on a person's mental well-being is not acceptable. Take the example of the high-profile athletes from the recently completed Olympics. An American gymnast pulled out of competition, stating mental health issues. And post-games, a New Zealand cyclist has succumbed to mental health issues. It is no longer acceptable to act in a manner that is known to have a detrimental effect on a person's mental health. Rose and I have already been detrimentally and directly affected by the notice of requirement proposal Yet to date, no meaningful support has been offered. We have been told no compensation can be offered. This is unacceptable and dangerous. Loss of life is a real threat if quality of life is taken by the regional freight hub going ahead on the proposed site. The legal term states we are not directly affected due to our land not being part of the proposed footprint. In legal terms, a train engineer is not liable for loss of life should a landowner lay down his or her life on the tracks. So that means that engineer is not directly affected by the loss of life. We all know that direct effect of this for some train engineers is too much to bear. When this happens to a train engineer, their quality of life is taken from them. The proposed regional freight hub has already taken quality of life from myself, Rose, and our neighbours. That's a fact. There will come a point where this is too much to bear for landowners that lose the quality of their life. As I stated at the beginning, we are categorically and factually directly affected by the proposed regional freight hub. Therefore, our concerns must be actioned, not just heard. Our quality of living must be protected and preserved now and in the future. This is not about the law. This is about community and supporting those that live in that community. Quality of life is why we work, play, pay our taxes and rates. Thank you for your time and due consideration to our plight. We look forward to getting back our quality of living in our rural home.
Thank you very much.
Nothing further. Tēnā kōrua. Thank you both very much for coming along. I don't have any further questions for you because your submissions are very clear and obviously you're in a similar situation to other submitters that we've heard from. So there is a theme of very similar sorts of concerns and issues being raised by those of you who are directly affected by the Freight Hub proposal, which we can clearly hear and empathise with. So I just wanted to let you know that you have been heard and we will do our very, very best to address the issues that you've raised. Kia ora.
Good afternoon. Thank you for coming along. I do have a couple of small questions. You mentioned that you operate your business from this property. May I ask what that business is?
I'm a furniture maker by trade, and I have a workshop on the property where I manufacture bespoke furniture and cabinetry.
Thank you. Do you have customers coming to your site on a regular basis, or do you tend to get orders over the internet? How does it operate,
I guess? It varies a lot. It's quite dynamic because of the nature of the business being bespoke or custom-made furniture. A lot of my client meetings are in the home of the client. Once manufacture is underway, there is the occasion where a client will come to see the product during manufacturing stages.
Thank you. The reason I'm interested is part of the original proposal for the potential hub was to close the level crossing on Cleveley Line My understanding is that's now going to be a council-led aspect. And I was just wondering how that might affect you, whether you're in support of that, given the terrible crash that happened there, or just your views, please.
Very early on in the process, I realised that any public traffic movement past the signage that I have on the front of the property would basically disappear. So any marketing value I have would go. So I wouldn't say that would be a positive effect on my business unless I could relocate that signage at minimal or no cost to myself or the business.
And how about the closure of the Cleveley Line railway crossing?
To be honest, it's already a challenge for some people to find me because the property access is up the lane. It's not directly from Cleveley Line. So it would probably add to the difficulties of people finding me, which obviously is not a positive.
Thank you very much for your candour.
Thank you both for your submission. I was very taken by it in terms of how you'd set it out with the issues and the assessment and the solutions that you thought would address your concerns. Are those solutions that you've set out in your original submission still things that you are seeking, in addition to what you've talked to us about today?
Absolutely, they would be a bare minimum. Obviously, the best solution for us is that it doesn't go ahead.
I think we gathered that, yes. Thank you. Just wanted to confirm that those were still on the table.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Much appreciated. Thank you. And we are extremely conscious of the uncertainty that this proposal has created for people. And it's a very, very substantial designation. And it creates a lot of uncertainty. We're fully cognizant of that. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to just have an afternoon tea break. And when we resume, it'll be Mid-Central Health, if they're here. All right, so we'll come back at 3:17. Thank you.